All righty, good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. Appreciate everybody being here. We got a pretty full house and we haven't even started singing yet. Normally everybody sneaks in late, so hopefully we'll fill up every chair today, but good to see everybody. The weather is absolutely perfect in the Houston area right now. We got a hurricane coming, but it brought some cool weather. So I guess there's the good side, the bad side of that, but be praying for everybody that's going to be dealing with that. Wherever that's going to actually land, and nobody knows it's God, but we're going to, I always try to get a mind frame of where we want to go with music, because I get here way early and start playing, but I always try to listen to the radio, keeping him close by, KHCB, and radio, and they did a whole medley this morning of his presence. Like, wow, this is really beautiful. Some of my favorite songs. So we're gonna kind of that kind of just made me think about his presence.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene, and I wonder how he could
me.
Sing until I can't hardly sing anymore, and then I wonder why my voice is out. We're going to have, if we could, the deacons come forward and we'll take care of the offering. We've got several people out today, so we want you to remember them. Keep praying for school and not only our school, but all the other schools. Philip, you look good today.
Thank you, sir.
Senior?
Praise the Lord.
Not bad. All right, just seeing who else snuck in. Hey, let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll take up offering, and feel free to sing the offertory when we get to that point. Okay. Lord, we just want to come to you right now. First of all, thanking you that we're in your presence of the Messiah, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and our Jehovah. Lord, bless each family that's represented here, Lord. May we just kind of recognize that this isn't just a normal club meeting. This isn't just a gathering where we have coffee and donuts and laugh and visit with people and go home. This is a praise and worship time for you. Lord, may we honor that. May we remember that. May we take it to heart. Lord, every person in this place, and probably every person that's listening online, Lord, right now, has baggage that they're tired, they're weak, and they're worn from carrying that. And some of it's major stuff. Some of it's life issues, health issues, relationship issues. Lord, show us how just in the few moments that we're here to focus on you are the power, the strength, the wisdom, the grace, the mercy, the sustaining us through all of these times right now that makes us just shake our head. But ultimately we know that we are on holy ground and everything, not only in this place, but in this world, in this universe, that's in control of that storm that's getting ready to hit. It's coming from the Gulf. Lord, you know exactly where it's going to hit. You started a long time ago. He was right there. You are in control. If you can handle that, you can surely handle our problems, our life. We give you the praise and the glory, and we open up that loaf of bread today that's called the Word. May it be all life. Life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you as you give. Thank you. may pass away sooner than what we think. So we better sing that one more time because it's all about him.
Your holy presence. this is my daily bread.
God's presence, God's word, your prayer life is all about that. Do you ever get to the point where you're just desperate for Him? And I can't imagine all the things that's going on in our world and the problems that you're having in life. And if you don't know by now, you need to turn to Jonah, okay? Because we're going to see a situation that when you get to that point, the things just around you absolutely are falling apart. And this goes for young, old, Texas people, which is the most beautiful people in the world, and all the other folks. Okay? You're in the other category. Those Texas folks are different. That we go through, and we realize, and you know, just a few days ago, I was watching TV, imagine that, and back to back, three commercials in a row, it was about hope. And it was hope in different things. It was hope in a medicine. It was hope in a store. It was hope in food. It was hope, you know, counseling services. It was always about hope. And I don't know about you, but every now and then when all this stuff starts happening to us in this world, it gets us to the point that we may have felt like Jonah, the way we left him in the belly of the well. That it's dark here. It stinks here. I don't see anything good about this. How am I going to find anything in this world right now? And if you're there, I got a feeling I can look around the room and see some eyes that are there. You know what I'm talking about? And you're thinking, hey, wait, he was in the belly for just a few days. I've been in this situation for a long time, and it hurts. I want you to see something, and I think it's the last verse of chapter 1. You're saying, hey, wait, I thought we were in chapter 2. Oh, no, no, no. Last verse of chapter 1, that's what we started up 2 weeks ago, and I want to make sure we get every piece of meat off chapter 2. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17, the last verse. If you're there, say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
There we go. Now the Lord had prepared. He custom made this. Now, the original language of that word prepared means literally he ordained it. He made this fish for this one purpose in that fish's life. We don't know if that fish was the reason Steven Spielberg wrote Jaws. We don't know if it was still floating around out there in the sea now. We don't know anything about that. But we know by these words in the original language, God ordained. He set aside, he created this fish for this purpose. Just like he created you for an exact purpose. There's a piece of life's puzzle that only you can fill. Now, he has plans B, C, and D for other people if you don't. But that piece will never be filled like what you could fill it. I don't think, I'm from Southern Illinois. We used to fish a lot. Believe it or not, I actually fished as a kid. Uncle Wid, I don't know where they gave his name at. But Uncle Wid had a pond in the back 40. And we would go out there and fish all the time. And we would have perch and bluegill in his pond. And they're not very big, but boy, we just love catching them. Now, I don't know if this fish, since it was ordained to be the purpose that God had in mind, if that fish said, no, I don't think so. If a perch would have done the trick, used to go to Carlisle Lake, to the dam there at Carlisle Lake, and fish for pike. You had pike? Ugliest fish you ever seen. I don't think a pike would have done the job of what this fish. But I want you to see, because I don't think we talked about this in the last couple of weeks when we got on verse in chapter 1. Verse 17, God prepared, God ordained this fish to do exactly what it was going to do, and to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in that doggone thing for 3 days and three nights. Now, I don't know if some people think this is just a fable, a Sunday school story that we tell, kind of like, you know, Noah and the Ark. It didn't really happen. Come on. We really believe that. I believe that as surely as I'm sitting here. I believe this. This is fact. There's no doubt about it. Matter of fact, if you thought these were just stories to entertain Sunday school kids back in those days, keep your finger there and jump over to Matthew 11. Don't leave Jonah, because we're going to be in Jonah. Your Bible, by the end of this, will automatically open to Jonah and give Ruth a rest. It'll automatically be dog-eared there now. Matthew 12. Verse 38. If anybody thought that this was a fable, I want to let you know, you're doubting Jesus. You're doubting the existence of Jesus. If you get some of these pious religious folks that said, no, this is just an allegory of something that really relates to this, a huge problem in his life, and how he had a huge obstacle he had to overcome. This was all symbolism. It really has nothing to do with the fish. You're doubting Jesus if you say that. In Matthew 12:38, it says, you who are faithless and you intend evil, you keep asking for all these miraculous proofs. But the only miraculous sign I'm going to give you will be the same sign as I gave Jonah. Look how this verse keeps going. For just as Jonah was in the belly of that huge fish for 3 days and nights, so I, the Son of Man, will be in the grave in the earth for 3 days and nights. He's literally saying, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. And right there, he's talking about Jonah. He said, as surely as it happened to Jonah, it happened to me. So if we doubt this story and go, hey, that's all baloney, we're doubting the existence of Jesus Christ. I want to show you some things here real quick of when you are in the belly of the fish and it's dark It's cloudy. It's like there's nothing you can find to be able to grab a hold of and hang on to. In chapter 2 of Jonah, verse 1, it says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. We talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago. I don't want to hammer this much. But when you are on the bottom of your list of being able, you're at the end of that rope, and you don't even have enough to tie a knot in it and hang on. You need to pray to God. That's the first thing we see in this story that tells us what we ought to do when we're swallowed up with all the junk that happens to us in life. You have to pray to God. Why does God wait to answer our prayers? Think about that. He can honestly answer every prayer instantly if he wanted to. But he doesn't. He lets us pray and pray and pray. Some of you have been praying for years, and pray more and pray more. Why? Because he wants you and me first to distinguish between what's really a desire in our life and what's just a whim. What's just something we think about. To really have that desire in our hearts. Now, I can't imagine Jonah had the desire, Lord, let me out of here. I can't imagine that being, oh, when you get a chance, God, can you see me down here? I'm kind of in a predicament. I don't think it was like that. He cried out to God. God, we use like a slot machine. A lot of times that's what we use. We put our prayer quarter in and say, come on, God, pay off. Or let it happen, let it happen, let it happen. I won't ask for a set of hands, but how many have bought lottery tickets and said, Lord, if you only do this one once, I'll never ask for another one. Am I the only one that's done that? Okay. Oh, did I say that? I was thinking that. Did I say that? Did it actually come out? We use him as a slot machine. That we just, hey, do this for us, and then next time I need you, I'll let you know. When it gets that bad where I have to rely on prayer, I'll be right there with you, buddy. And we use him as a parent that always bails us out. Matthew 9:28 says, let's just write this down. The disciples privately asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, why couldn't we drive out a bad spirit? Jesus said, because this kind can only be forced out by prayer. The disciples were asking him this. Okay, wait. We're trying to deliver this guy from the, and it didn't work. The game plan, the steps, the one by one, take this step, A, B, and C, whatever, it didn't work. Why not, God? Come on, Jesus, what's the deal? And he said, because demons can only be driven out by prayer. And what's he saying there? That there are some problems in your life. You could try every human solution, and it's not going to work. There are some problems in your life that's so deep, that's so deep-rooted in your past, in your parents, in your abuse, in your traumas, in your problems, that the only way they're going to come out is in prayer. That's the only way. Stop going to Barnes & Noble and go to the self-help section. It's here in God's Word. That's the only place. And most of the time, you just need to be on your knees in prayer to get through it. That's the starting point. Did you notice that when Jonah was at the darkest place of his life, this fish that was ordained to swallow him up, the next thing he did when the well went, Jonah went, God! Absolutely. It needs to be the first thing we do when things are going wrong in your life. I got people online, people in the room here that are waiting for something to happen. And the answer is God. Pray to Him. But think about this. Jonah runs, buys him a cruise ticket, gets on a boat. It's storming. I don't see Jonah going, "Hey, God." He's hearing what's going on upstairs in the upper level of the cruise ship. And the carnival folks are throwing out baggage. They're throwing out the catering food. It's like, hey, wait, you know, the food's not any good anyway. They're throwing it out just in leaf, trying to make the boat lighter to save them. They're throwing everything. Does Jonah pray? "Hey, Lord, make sure you save me some rolls, some cinnamon rolls or breakfast or something. What are we going to eat?" No. Then they come to him and force a question out of him. "Is it you? What's going on?" Jonah doesn't go, "Okay, well, let me show you. Dear Lord." No. They grab him by the ankles and throw him overboard. Does Jonah pray to God? No. There's a system here. Until he's in the worst possible shape, he's in the fish, not floating on the upper level to where it's a beautiful a scenic view of the coastline. It's when the fish swallows him and goes to the deep, and he's sitting on bottom. At that point, Jonah goes, "Oh God, don't wait till you hit rock bottom. Amen. Start praying now." And get in with this. And you know, I've done this, I don't know how many times with y'all in the 55 years I've been here. I know it hasn't been 55, but it seems like it's been 55. That's a joke. You know, I was listening to the radio yesterday where Charles Stanley's retiring finally at the First Baptist Church Atlanta. And he's been there almost 50 years. And I was thinking, oh my lands, I would have to be 110 to make 50 years here. I'll never live that long, but 50 years at the same church. Can you imagine the stories he's got? Why do we wait till the last moment? It's the first thing that Jonah's done in this story that's right. Okay. So if you don't get anything out of this sermon, and some of you already fallen asleep, that's fine. You're probably already out and at home. That's fine. But if you don't get anything out of this sermon, don't wait 1 minute longer to take it to God. Let that be the first step. That's what Jonah should have done at minute one. Don't try to figure it out. Don't fill out paperwork to have the government bail you out first. Don't go to the unemployment office and get all that paperwork and make sure it's in there first. Go to God first. Let's be real. Have you done that? Let's be real. Most of the time we do that as the last resort. So we fit in the story. So right above Jonah's name, you can just put yours. I did the same thing. Until there was nothing left to do but to call on God. The second thing I want you to see is God's watching to see how persistent we are in prayer. What Jonah did, God wants us to do this too. He prays passionately. It's not just a, "Dear Lord, please let this happen." Verse 2, "In my distress and in my deep trouble, I cried out." When's the last time you cried out to God? I do this. I live alone. I can do this now without people thinking I'm crazy. You cry out, "God, I need you. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't deal with this anymore. How long has it been?" Oh, there's a beautiful song. I wish I had it here. "How long has it been since you knelt by your bed? Awesome song. How long's it been? Here's another gut wrencher. How long's it been since you've been on your knees? I was picking up something I dropped a few days ago at Steinmark, and I got down to pick it up, and the associate came by, the little worker, said, "You okay?" I said, "It's easy to get down, but it's just not that easy to get up anymore." I'll get up, but it's going to take me a little bit. How long has it been since you've been there? And you prayed passionately what God wants you to do. And we talked about this, Lamentations is just all that lamenting to God. And God cares about all the pain that you're going through. He understands when we cry out to Him. There's a whole bunch of stories on that, but I want to get through chapter 2 today. The third thing that Jonah does, he identifies why things don't look so great. I want to tell you something. This is major. If you can't work out your problems until you identify what the problems are. Now, I promise you, I do have a book coming out. And it talks about in the GPS system. And I'm going to preach you the book here, I think, October, because it's going to be coming out in probably November 1st, if we get everything back under control. It's good. It's just in time for the holidays. All three books come out at the same time. What was I thinking there? Anyway, you can't go on a trip and prepare until you decide where you are and where you want to get to. So many people, and I'm being serious as a heart attack, so many people know where they want to go, but they haven't admitted where they are right now. So if you don't say, "Hey, God, this is my problem," congratulations, the problem is not going to be solved. You have to go to the root of the problem and go, "This is what I have issues with." Identify the problem. And he does this. Verse 3. "You, God, cast me into the deep water, and I sank to the bottom of the sea. Everything was churning around me into the deep water." Everything churned around me. "And I was engulfed by powerful waves that overwhelmed me. Then I thought, I've been banished from God's presence, and I'll never get to see your holy temple again. I was scared to death after I was drowning with the water that was choking me, the seaweed that was wrapped all around my head. I kept sinking down to the bottom of the ocean floor, to the mountains that rise off the ocean floor. And I felt locked in a prison forever." See how he identifies the problem? Every issue he identifies. The storm, the water, the seaweed, the depth. When we just want to get through it and do everything to get through it, "The Lord just solved my problems." He's not going to do it that way. We need to admit we have problems. Now watch the radio show tonight. We got a little Ricky on tonight. And watch how, because I haven't talked to him about what we're talking about, but watch and see if when he gets to his drug and alcohol problem in his life, if he doesn't say, "All of a sudden, I had to recognize I had an issue." Because that's always the way. Until you recognize you have an issue, it can't be solved. And the prayer can't be answered. "Lord, fix me" isn't good enough. "Lord, fix my alcohol problem." "Lord, fix," if you listened to last week's show with James Brown, a dear friend of mine, an ordained minister, trying to kill himself twice in his garage. Can you imagine that? Between me and you? I can imagine that. Oh, yeah. But until you say, Lord, I'm thinking about this. I need help with this. That's what solved this. And this passage, 3-6, you see 8 things. That's the cause of hopelessness. I may not get past this. So hang on. Write these down fast, okay? We're going to drink water here. We're drinking soda. So I can put it in turbo and talk, okay? 8 things that cause our problems. 1, feeling I'm over my head. Feeling that I am over my head. How many feel that way? That the problem you have is just absolutely way over your head. I can't deal with it. It's over my head. 2, I've hit rock bottom. Been there, done that? Sometimes people need to hit the rock bottom to be able to build from that. Because if you don't, you're always going to have a few of those insecurities or a few of those issues that you never got to. And you overcame it. So, oh, I'm all right with that because I made it through that without dealing with that. He hit rock bottom. 3, Jonah said, I'm feeling out of control and I'm powerless. Everything was churning. It was out of his control. 4, he felt overwhelmed. The waves overpowered me. 5, he felt rejected and lonely. I thought I was banished from God's presence, is what he said. I felt like I was alone. Anybody in this room feel that way? Or know what I'm talking about? You just feel like you're alone. He felt remorse and regret. 6. I thought I would never get to see your holy temple again. I wonder how many people that are on our church rolls, that's 700 and some, that are going through something in their lives, going, I may never get to see my church family again. And they haven't been here in 4 years. But you see what he's doing? He's starting to feel remorse and regret. I may God never get to see your holy temple again. Psalm 42:4, write this one down. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. Wow. 7, crushing fear. Fear overtook him. The seaweed was wrapped around my throat, my head, and I was choking. You ever been in that situation where you couldn't catch your breath? And you thought, oh, my lands. I think that COVID thing would probably be one of the worst possible ways because you just can't anymore. Everything's, you just can't get another breath. I can't imagine that. Then 8th thing, I was feeling trapped. I thought I was in a prison, locked forever. That's 8 feelings and emotions that we go through a lot of times in our problems. I only have a few more minutes left. But 4, ask God for help. Specifically, Jonah 2:2, from deep in the world of the dead, I ask for help. Psalm 50:15, call to me in your times of trouble, and I will save you, and you will honor me. Now, here's the key for asking for help. I want you to write this down. Pray, not your words, not the little memory verses the memory prayers that you remembered in Sunday school. Oh, God is great. God is good. Let us thank you for our food. Lord, help me. That doesn't work. A lot of people, and you see this in the movies a lot, and I'm not for sure. Where was it? I'm trying to think of what movie. It doesn't matter. But somebody was going to kill somebody, and they just started, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Oh. Now that's scripture. That's different. When you need something, pray specifically God's word. Three things you should pray. Pray the complaints to God. He wants to hear them. Pray the truth about God. He wants to hear that. And pray the promises to God. Remind him, God, your word said, I'm claiming it. I want it. Let it happen. And he will honor his word. But he just may want to know if you know it or not. If you know the word. You can't say, Lord, you said it's in there someplace. I know somewhere. Pray the word. Open it up and find the verse that takes your situation and wraps it and covers it up and pray it and pray it and pray it and remind God what his word said so he can come into your world and save you. Pray the complaints. Pray the truth, pray the promises. And the fifth thing Jonah did, that we should too, is focus on the goodness that God has given to us. Verse 7, Jonah 2. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. When I had lost all hope, God, I turned my thoughts once again to you. And my earnest prayer went out to you in your temple. Now, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, but the Greek word for turning your thoughts is this one, just to let you know that I can use a concordance and all that, is metanoia, metanoia, M-E-T-A, metanoia, N-O-I-A. You know what that word means? Repent. Repent. I turn my thoughts toward you. Repent. There's something there that gets my attention. And Lord, you're not going to solve my problem and my need if I continue on the direction that is going away from you. Because Jonah's running, remember? And Jonah finally got the rude concept of, wait, I can't run no more. Well, I can run to the tail and to the tonsils and back and forth, but that's all I can go. I can't go anywhere. And my general vicinity is inside this thing on the bottom of the ocean, on the bottom of the sea. I can't go anywhere. And we need to, with that word being put in there of repent, when we call out to him, Lord, I need you. Will you solve it? Somewhere down the line, we need to repent. We cannot, I promise you this, we cannot as a country of United States pray, Lord, help us through this without the country turning around and doing a major shift in the direction that we've been going for years. Take us down to where we have nothing else to do but to pray to you. And then let's rebuild it back on the principles that it once was on. And at that point, God will go, aha, there's the country I want. There's the people that have humbled themselves and come before me. I will bless you again. And you can put it on your coins again. And God, you trust. We can do it like that instead of what we've been doing. And repentance is so important. In that verse 7, when I lost hope, I turned my thoughts once upon you, God. Only got a couple more minutes. You got to number 6. Reject all the fake fixes. And accept God's grace. Verse 8, chapter 2. Those who look to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. He's inside a fish. That's powerful. Romans 1:25, instead of believing the truth of God, many people choose to believe lies. Philippians 3:3, we put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ has already done for us. Number 7, I'm going to stop here. I think, how many more do I have? Oh, that's it. Okay, I'm actually making it through. Good. Number 7, what Jonah did, we need to do is express gratitude to God in advance. Thank you, God, for solving this problem before I ever get out of the fish. Verse 9. See it? He's in the fish, bottom of the sea. I will sing a song of thanksgiving. He's inside the fish. Can you imagine all the other schools of fish around said, hey, fish, can you turn down the radio? We're trying to sleep over here. Jonah's inside singing, praising God that he's going to get. This is the guy that just ran away from him. You catch this? The importance of that, I will sing a song of thanksgiving and I will sacrifice to you and I will do what I promised you to do. Why? Because salvation comes from the Lord. How do you praise God in advance? 1, through singing. 2, through giving back to God. 3, recommitting yourself to what God has designed you to do to begin with. That's the things that we could be doing that Jonah did that we need to do in our own life. And in the last verse of the chapter, verse 10. So the Lord ordered the great fish to vomit Jonah back onto the beach. We're going to talk about why, when, where next week. I don't know about you, but I need this. I don't know about you, but there's problems that happen in our life and our world that I don't have answers for. I don't think we have answers to what we're experiencing in the country. We just kind of shake our head and go, okay, we'll see what happens next. Just like Jonah had no control, he was smart enough to know after he was at the bottom of the sea, I got to turn to God. Whatever situation you're in, turn to him. Cry out to him. And you won't like the terminology of this, so don't go, but I promise you if you do, God will puke you back up. Where he wants you to be. And you won't have to start at the beginning and make every step right. He will vomit you right at the place where he can use you. That means this very second, you could be smack dab in the will of God if you just give it to him. Dear Lord, we come to you and I thank you for your word. I thank you for this chapter, this story. And I thank you that we can just scrape and scrape and scrape off these verses and get life lessons. Lord, show us now how we need to go out into this world and do the same. Some of us have been running. Some people online are secretly listening in because they don't want to know anybody. Let them know that I'm listening. Lord, may your Holy Spirit reach inside them right now. Hear their cries. Feel their hopelessness. And Lord, spin us back up exactly where we need to be. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all for joining us this morning. We'll see you all next week and be right here next week. for another edition of Faith Springs Baptist Live at 10 a.m. Central Time. God bless you. Have a good week.